Earth and Sky.
What is the real global universal chemistry going on? That's happening in the interstellar medium. That's happening in space.
You're listening to astronomer Anthony Rimijan at the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Rimijan and his colleagues have found evidence that the precursors to life on Earth, large organic molecules, form in deep space. He spoke about them and about the search for life's origins here on Earth with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Dr. Rimijan, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you.
So tell us about scientists' understanding of what are called prebiotic molecules and why scientists are looking for them in space. What's happening here?
Well, what we're trying to understand is the actual chemistry going on in space that led to the formation of large organic molecules. And we know that large organic molecules must have formed on the early Earth in order to be around today for us to be talking about it. So in order for us to actually start that investigation, we look toward these regions of space where we actually find large molecules. And some of the largest molecules are things that you find every single day in your own house. Ethylene glycol, which is in antifreeze, acetic acid, which is in vinegar, even things like formic acid, which you find in bee and ant stings. So these organic molecules that we find on the Earth are actually out there in space. So if we want to go back in time, if we want to actually try to figure out how organic molecules formed on the early Earth, the detections that we're doing in the interstellar medium are giving us a testbed of the chemistry needed to form those large organic molecules.
How do scientists see these molecules?
Well, the molecules themselves are detected at radio frequencies, anywhere between several hundred megahertz all the way up to very high frequency terahertz observations. And the way we detect them is by what we call rotational transitions. So you could think of a molecule like carbon monoxide that contains a carbon atom and an oxygen atom, and it's kind of held together by a spring. And as the molecule is rotating around, it emits what's known as dipole radiation as the molecule spins around and rotates. And that's the type of radiation we're detecting with our telescopes. As the molecule rotates around in the interstellar medium, it's emitting this type of radiation, and that's what our telescopes are actually detecting.
And just to step back one more second here, what exactly is a prebiotic molecule?
Well, it all depends on who you ask. For an astronomer, anything that's not hydrogen and helium, for example, is called a metal. So what we define as a prebiotic molecule is a molecule that contains carbon, oxygen, and nitrogen. And these are the basic chemical elements that build up the larger molecules that we find in biology today. Things that build up things like amino acids and proteins have their basic constituents of carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen, as well as hydrogen. And so those are the types of molecules that we're looking for, large molecules that contain oxygen, nitrogen, and carbon, and as well as hydrogen, and how and what conditions and where they're found in the interstellar medium.
So with these instruments that you described, the Green Bank telescope, scientists aren't using that to look for alien DNA or anything?
Absolutely not. No, that's absolutely not what we're doing. We're trying to find molecules that have some importance in prebiotic organic chemistry.
And one of the things that you did say earlier was that you don't need a planet like Earth to form some of these complex molecules that make up the building blocks of life.
Well, there was an early experiment done in order to try to synthesize large organic molecules, and that was called the Miller-Urey experiment. It was a very successful experiment that was at the University of Chicago right down the road. And what they did was they put in all the what they thought were the constituent elements of the early Earth's atmosphere and ran a spark through a spark discharge, and all of a sudden they formed large organic molecules. But there are several problems with that. The conditions of the Miller-Urey experiment at the time, we found out that the early Earth did not have those molecules in its atmosphere, did not have the types of species necessary in order to form this organic chemistry. But we are finding, though, that the interstellar conditions, especially in these regions where have a lot of dust in them as well, are ripe for this type of chemistry to take place. So you have Miller-Urey type of experiments going on naturally in interstellar space. And you actually need that type of chemistry in order to form these large molecules. And if the early Earth didn't have that type of chemistry, it had to come from somewhere. And we think that the molecules that formed in the interstellar medium got bottled up into comets and asteroids and meteorites and then actually seeded early planets like the Earth in order to see the chemistry necessary to drive this type of formation of large molecules.
And tell us more about where scientists are pointing their radio telescopes out of the Green Bank array. Where are they pointing their telescopes in our galaxy to look for these large organic molecules?
Well, right now, the Green Bank telescope, we're looking in a region called Sagittarius B2 North. It's a region of high-mass star formation toward the galactic center, in the same direction of the galactic center. That's where the first polyatomic molecule was ever discovered in 1969, and our survey of that region is basically to categorize and identify as many spectral features from different molecules toward that region.
So what is the next step in advancing the search for prebiotics in space?
It's identifying as many molecular species as we can, and also understanding their chemistry. How did these species actually form? Because it's still a major part that we don't understand. We can go out and identify the molecules in space, but we have absolutely no idea how they're formed. The several formation models that have been used lack the ability to form the molecules in the abundance that we see them. So what we're trying to do now is to investigate intermediaries to the formation of large prebiotic molecules, radicals, ions, things that should be able to be detected in order to drive this chemistry. So the next step is we want to identify as many molecules as we can, identify the important prebiotic species that are in space, but then really try to understand the chemistry that went into their formation by looking at the precursors to those large organics and the reactions, where they took place, what environments are they found primarily, what other physical conditions are present in that region in order to drive that chemistry.
What is the most important thing that you'd like to tell the public today about prebiotic molecules in space?
Well, the prebiotic molecules in space, with the advent of new telescopes coming online, we're only going to find more and more complex species. We're going to get a better understanding of how these species are formed, and the public will have access to our database of lines and features that they could also mine them themselves and possibly even find their own find an organic molecule that we just haven't had time to actually look through the database ourselves and investigate. So we're in a very very good time as new telescopes are coming online to really probe down and investigate all the very weak features of large organic molecules, the radicals and ions that have been the formation of those molecules, understand the physical conditions and regions where those molecules are found, and then give the data to the community to help us in this investigation.
You've been listening to Anthony Rimejean with the National Radio Astronomy Observatory in Charlottesville, Virginia. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird for Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.